Art, what's it looking like as we head out of preseason and into the regular season?
This could be a really bad team. And I know we don't want to make judgments about preseason results, but it was pretty obvious that the Seahawks had not much of an offensive game. They can't protect the passer because they're so young and so new across the offensive line. And Tavares Jackson has never established himself as an average NFL quarterback in his previous 4 years and did nothing during the preseason that gave anybody any encouragement that he would be an average NFL quarterback.
So it looks like the one thing the Seahawks don't want to be this season is mediocre. They either want to be really good or really bad.
You're right. And that's where the dilemma lies, is because what happens here is it's hard to fall out of the race in the NFC West because all the other teams are mediocre too. So everybody is equally bad, and that means you're never out of the race for postseason. But if you're really bad, then you're rewarded with a very high first-round draft choice. And in this case, that would be Andrew Luck of Stanford, who many scouts think is the next John Elway. He's a guy worth losing for. And that's where the social media campaign has erupted around Seahawk fans called Suck for Luck. Because if their Seahawks are really bad, and that would be like 4-12, 3-13, 2-14, they would be among the likeliest to get that number one pick and draft Andrew Luck. So there are the cynical group in the Seahawk fan base that say, let's suck for Luck. And that might be, in terms of a long-term strategy, the best way to go. But how do you do that if you're 2-6 or 3-9 and, you know, you're still in the race in the NFC? It's not going to be that bad, but it's going to be another situation where if the Seahawks somehow manage to be around 500 in December, they would feel obliged to go for it as far as winning the division again, but it would make it more difficult then to draft a quality rookie quarterback. That means you'd have to go for a veteran quarterback, and you know, there are pluses and minuses to that, but I think Tavares Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst are simply placeholders for this year until they can get to next year, a bridge quarterback, as it's called in the business.
Well, it's not like they didn't spend money on some quality acquisitions in the offseason. They just didn't do it at quarterback. They do have some really strong new players.
Right. They've added Sidney Rice at wide receiver. They've added Zach Miller at tight end. These guys are very promising players, and they're going to be here next year and the year after and the year after that. It's just that this year, they're not going to be of much help if you can't get the ball to them. And so that's the dilemma. I think the Seahawks have invested in some quality upgrades at positions that will be around for next year. And the question is, will they come together this year? And it's a bigger question for every team in the NFL because the lockout shrunk the window for training camps and preseason to the point where really almost no team, except for the most veteran teams, know what they have. And the Seahawks have churned the roster again, and I'm thinking that they really don't know what they have until things roll out Sunday, because if you judge by the preseason, they don't have much.
Going to be an interesting season.
It will be, and I have no idea what's going to be happening.
All right, Art, thanks.
My pleasure.
KPLU sports commentator Art Thiel joins us every week at this time. His website is Sports Press Northwest at sportspressnw.com, and you can download Sports with Art Thiel and other KPLU commentaries at kplu.org. I'm Kirsten Kendrick.